With the baptism of the Lord, the church formally concludes the Christmas season, and tomorrow we return to the green of ordinary time. And so on this last day of Christmas, and we did get a white Christmas after all, I like to reflect and draw an analogy between the mystery of our Lord's baptism that we celebrate today and what has to be in the top five gifts one could receive at Christmas, a puppy. Now, what does a puppy and our Lord's baptism have to do with each other? I think a great deal. I've had puppies on my mind recently, as a couple of our parish staff members have had furry additions to their families, and they've made some office visits. So this, you can understand where this is coming from. But I've had dogs my whole life. And my dad's a good man of practical wisdom, and he, since I was a kid, always said that before you go to buy a dog, one thing that you should do is to make sure that you're able to meet the parents of that dog. So the parents, so the pup, the wisdom goes. And whether you've adopted a dog or a cat or anything else from a shelter or from a litter, you know that there's a kind of process that takes place, a sort of evaluation that you go through before you make that decision of which animal is for you. You know what kind of dog that you want, and so you look for the one that's going to best suit that. You look for the puppy that's going to grow into be the dog that you would want. And sometimes that works out, and sometimes you're dead wrong. But whatever the case may be, we make a judgment, and then we choose. We observe, we make a judgment, and we choose. And at some point in the midst of that process, we've begun to love. Something about one of them captures our heart, and ultimately it's that which makes the choice. But notice the sequence. We observe, we love, and we adopt. And this process of choosing isn't limited just to choosing a puppy. In fact, nearly every choice that we make in life follows a similar structure. Whether it's a choice of a spouse, or a choice of a house, a car, a smartphone, a vacation destination, whatever it may be, we love things because they mean something to us, because they do something for us. Or they'll bring us the promise of happiness in the future. We choose what we love. We love only what we know. We can't love things that we don't know. On the other side of the coin, we also recognize that this is how our world works. We have to win the attention, the affection, the admiration, the trust, the respect of others by impressing them. In a sense, we're also like the puppy in the midst of the living room floor, trying to be as adorable and draw as much attention to ourselves as possible so we're noticed. At work, that might mean putting in extra hours or going above and beyond on a project to impress your boss. At school, that might mean taking an extra AP class or getting involved with an extracurricular activity. At home, as a child, maybe this means trying to live up to your parents' expectations. And as parents, maybe it's putting in that extra effort so you know that your child loves you and you want what's best for them. We're both at once looking at the litter, looking at those puppies, trying to find what will make us happy, and we're also the puppies themselves, trying to win the affection and the praise and ultimately the love of others. This is how the world operates. But God forbid, and I mean that, God forbid it, that we should ever think of our relationship with God in those terms. God loves us, period. God loves us not because of anything that we've done, anything that we've accomplished, anything that we've promised to be, but simply for the fact that we are. St. John the Evangelist writes in his first letter, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us." God's love is not something for us that we could earn, something that is the benefit or the result of us living up to his expectations. God's love is not something, to use the theological term, that we could merit. Merit is everything else. Merit is what the puppy wins when he wins your heart. Merit is what wins you the raise at work, or the Ivy League acceptance letter. But God's love is purely and utterly unmerited. We can see how easy it is to lump God in with all the rest when all of our world revolves around merit. But God's love is radical. It's different. It's not the love that follows upon a judgment, upon weighing the good against the bad of who we are, and then God deciding to love us. No, before all of that, before all the good things that we do for him, every act of reverence and devotion we praise to him, God loves us. He loves us for the simple fact that he's created us, that he sustains us. In him we live and move and have our being. And through him we're promised eternal life. The baptism of the Lord that we celebrate today, by every respect, is not about the Lord's baptism at all. Jesus had no need to be baptized. As the second person of the Trinity, he had no need for the Holy Spirit to descend upon him in the form of a dove. He had no need for the Father's voice to bellow out from the heavens that this is his beloved Son. All of those things were true from before time began. So why do we have this scene in the Jordan River? St. Thomas Aquinas answers it in this way, that the Spirit descends at Jesus' baptism and the Father's voice is heard, that we might know that after being washed in the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit comes down upon us from on high, and that the Father's voice declares us to have become the adopted sons and daughters of God. Jesus is baptized in the river, not for his own sake, but for ours, to reveal to us what happens on the day of our own baptism, that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us as within a temple, and that we are made members of the body of Christ and adopted sons and daughters of the Father. The Father's voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The Father says that of the Son, of Jesus. But as he says it of Jesus, he sees every one of us that make up his body. And so he says to you, and as he says to me, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased." So yes, the Father has adopted us. But this kind of adoption is wholly unlike the way that we would adopt a puppy. The Father doesn't wait for us to win his love, to earn his love, to merit his love. How could we do any of those things? He gives it freely, simply for the fact that he's made us. St. Paul says to Titus very clearly, "Not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us." And surely this is hard for us to understand. How could this be? In a world totally saturated by merit, it's very difficult for us to understand and appreciate grace. Grace, which means gift, free, undeserved, unmerited. But this unmerited love of the Father that he's poured upon us, it's a love that demands a response. "Go and do likewise. Do this in memory of me. I have given you an example that you must do also." This is what Jesus says to his disciples time and again throughout the Gospels when he manifests to them the Father's love, that unmerited and undeserved love. Jesus makes it very clear. You're to do the same. As the Father has loved us, so must we love one another. Again, St. John tells us, "If God so loved us, we also must love one another." God has set the standard. If unmerited love is the way that God loves us, then how could we be called to anything different? Now, that's no easy task, to love others not because they've done something to deserve love or earn it, but simply for the fact that they are. And because they are, God loves them. It doesn't mean that we have to like them. It doesn't mean we have to take them to coffee. But to love simply means to will their good, to will what's best for them, to desire that they have good things poured upon them by our Heavenly Father. both in this life and in the next. It's a difficult challenge, but throughout the year we hear Jesus' public ministry, a public ministry which begins today with his baptism. His public ministry is marked by signs of the Father's endless love. And as we begin a new year, on a day that we celebrate and remember our own baptism, we remember that the Father has loved us because of the fact that we are. He has made us his adopted sons and daughters. And that love requires us to go and do the same.